So go ahead and go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And we'll get there and read that here in just a couple of minutes. But I want to review where we were last week. And what we saw last week was that Satan's first attack on mankind was deception. Is that we understand that he is the father of all lies, that he is a liar from the beginning, that he is the master deceiver. And so we saw that his first attack on mankind was deception. And the place this battle primarily is waged is in the mind. This battle of deception takes in our mind. And we saw that the piece of armor necessary to provide protection was the belt of truth, which is the first piece of armor that is listed in Ephesians chapter 6, is this belt of truth, and it provides protection against the deception of Satan. We saw the importance of knowing the truth found in Scripture. And we stressed heavily last week that we cannot know truth unless we read the Scripture. If we're not in the Bible, if we don't read it on a regular basis, we cannot know what truth is. That is the truth. That is the absolute objective truth, is what we talked about last week, is found in God's Word. So putting on the belt of truth means being completely honest with God, with others, and of course with yourself. And one of the easiest people to fool is ourselves. One of the easiest people to lie to and convince of a lie is ourselves, right? We're really good at rationalizing things. We're really good at lying to ourselves. We're really good at these things. And so what we saw was that we need to be completely honest with God, with others and ourselves. Fair, because we saw that being honest with God is a prerequisite to all spiritual battles. That if we're not going to start there with truth, then we've already lost the battle. And so truth is the primary thing that we need to start with is the truth of God's Word, the objective truth that is found there. And so tonight we're going to look at the second piece of armor. I was going to talk about two, but I decided let's just take them one at a time so we don't have to try to do too much in one evening. But so we're going to look at the second piece that's listed in Ephesians chapter 6, the second piece of armor that God gives us to protect us in this war. And so what we saw is the first attack is deception. I already mentioned that. But the first attack is deception, and the armor is the belt of truth. And so each week we'll review these as we continue on. The second attack is condemnation or guilt. And the armor that God has provided us to help us battle against this attack is the breastplate, addressing the breastplate of righteousness, what it is, how it functions, and why it's important. And so this breastplate of righteousness let me just back up and just say this, is the first thing that Satan does, I've said it three times already, but his primary thing is deception. And then he follows that up with a heavy dose of condemnation. Very often we're tempted, and every time we're tempted, the enemy shows us that, hey, this temptation, this will make your life better. This will make you happy. If I only had more money, I'd be happy. If I had a different kids, I'd be happy. If I had a different spouse, I'd be happy. If I had a different job, then I would be happy. If I had a different house, then I would be happy. And so we are deceived. We become deceived. And so we take the temptation, we fall to the temptation, and then we are hammered with a heavy dose of condemnation. He condemns us, and he begins to make us feel guilty with his condemnation. And that is one thing that he uses, is this guilt. Condemns going to church because they would feel guilty if they didn't. They give not because they have a desire to expand God's kingdom. They give not because they desire to see God use it and multiply it and do great work through it. They do it because they would feel guilty if they didn't. Other people volunteer and they serve when they're asked because they will feel guilty. Will live their lives controlled by guilt. Controlled by shame. And this is one of the tactics of the enemy, is to make us feel guilt and shame. And we get stuck in shame all the time. And so many people live their lives full of guilt. And what we see is that condemnation and guilt, they often work very subtly as the enemy whispers. And you call yourself a Christian. How could you be a Christian and live that way? Well, maybe I'm not. We begin to question, begin to doubt. How could you call yourself that? How could you do that and be a Christian? If anyone knew the things you do, if anyone knew the secret sins that you partake of behind closed doors, the way you hide your insecurities, with the way that you, maybe when you're really stressed or you're insecure, we medicate that with shopping or eating or whatever it is, trying to cover up, trying to hide the insecurity. He gives us these lies, saying, "How could you be a Christian? You're a fraud. You're going to be exposed." And we begin to believe the lies that he gives us, and he condemns us when we sin. Have you ever heard that whisper and felt that attack before? Or is that just me? I feel that all the time. And I'm pretty sure that most of us in here would agree that we understand what that's like. How could you be a Christian and think that thought? How could you be a Christian and go to that movie? How could you be a Christian, buddy, wrongly? We understand what this attack is like, and we begin to be condemned, and our hearts are condemned by the enemy. I know how that is. It happens to me regularly, and it is a lie from the enemy. So we need to understand that. The fact is that Jesus came to free us from condemnation and take away the guilt and the shame of sin. See, we are free to love God and desire to give and to serve him. And so I want to read a couple of verses to you. You don't have to look them up, but you can write them down and look at them later. I have them. But John 3:17-18. Again, we all know John 3:16, but we need to read the verse that follows that up, which is John 3:17. It says, "For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned." So if you have trusted Christ as your Savior, it says you are not condemned. You've been saved. Romans 8:1, "There is therefore now no Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." See, if you are in Christ Jesus, there is now no condemnation for you. Hebrews 8:12, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more." See, God doesn't keep a record of sins. If you know Christ, he does not remember that sin. It says, "I will remember their lawless deeds no more." Hebrews 9:11-14 says, "But Christ came as a high priest of the good things to come, with a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, for the purifying of flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" It says that the blood of bulls and goats, speaking back to the Old Testament times, their consciences were never cleaned. It says, but the blood of Christ, because of that, he cleanses our conscience. The guilt and the shame are gone. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So when we hear the whisper of the enemy condemning us, righteousness comes into play. And he does. And he does attack us. He does condemn us. But we need to understand this breastplate of righteousness. A Roman breastplate was usually made of bronze, or if they were more affluent, it would be like a chain mail. It covered the midsection and then some more. It's a little bit more than that. So from just below the neck to the middle of the thighs would be where this breastplate covers. Of course, what does that cover? The vital organs, right? Covers the heart and all the things that keep us alive, the important things that we have, our vital organs. And so it protected these things. So what is righteousness? It's important for us to understand what righteousness is. And in this passage, it refers to submitting to the lordship of Christ. And there are many people who say, "Jesus is my Savior," but they don't live as if he is their Lord. And so it's very important to say, "I'm submitting to the lordship of Christ." This is what righteousness is speaking of. Simply put, it's putting into practice what you know is right. So the truth is first. We understand truth from God's word, and we begin to put that into practice. What we know to be right, we put it into practice, and we live it out. That is what righteousness is speaking of in this sense here. And so he put on the belt of truth. And again, last week we looked at what truth is, the objective truth found in Scripture. Scripture is not relative. It's not how I feel about it. It's not up for interpretation. It's the objective truth found in God's word. And then we begin to live it out daily. And we need to understand that what God's word says. 2 Timothy 2:15 Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And we looked at that very briefly last week. But righteousness is correctly applying the truth we know from Scripture. Rightly dividing. We need to understand it. We need to ask God for discernment, understanding, so that we can read His word and understand it and know how to apply it every day. We need to rightly divide the word of truth and understand what it means and how to live that out. So the primary thing is putting on the belt of truth and then the breastplate of righteousness. Understand the truth and live it out. It's interesting because obedience is our protection. If we begin to really look at it, obedience to God's word is the protection. And so it's important for us to understand that and understand God's word. So we understand what righteousness is. But there's a problem with that. What do you think that problem is? Well, we're not righteous, are we? Not a single one of us in here is righteous. We're actually very evil by nature, Romans 3. So the solution is Jesus. Jesus is righteous. When we place our faith in Christ for salvation, we are given His righteousness. So I want to look up a couple of verses. Go to 2 Corinthians 5. It says, "For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him." So the perfect Son of God, who knew no sin, our sin was placed upon Him. And so He took our sin and He gave us His righteousness. And so He became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Go back just a little bit further to Romans chapter 3, verse 21. It said, "But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance God at present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has had faith in Jesus." You see, we don't have any righteousness. All, and it's funny, this verse, "all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God," is what we read here. It says that Jesus was just. It's also the justifier. It was His righteousness. It says a righteousness of God apart from the law has been revealed through faith in Jesus Christ. So we are not righteous, but Jesus is. Go to Titus chapter 3, verse 4. It says, "When the kindness and love of God our Savior toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Then, having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life." According to His mercy, He saved us. According to His mercy. Not because I'm good. Not because He saw the good in me, because there is none. It says because of His mercy. It's because of His grace. Which, in my mind, that means because He wanted to. For no other reason. Why would He choose some and not others? Because that's what He if you are saved, it's because He wanted to save you. By His mercy and by His grace. Thank God for that. Praise God for that. That if you know Him, it's because He wanted you to be saved. It's because He knew, He desired to save you, and He showed you mercy and grace. And so we are not righteous, but Jesus is. When we put on the breastplate of righteousness, it's not our righteousness we are trusting. Because if I'm trusting in my own righteousness, that's going to send me straight to hell. Because I have no righteousness in me. So I'm not trusting in my own righteousness and my own good works. I'm trusting in Jesus' righteousness that was imputed or given to you, placed upon you, and that happened the moment you were saved, the moment you came to Jesus in faith, the moment you received His forgiveness and became a Christian, righteousness of God. And now when Jesus sees you, when God looks and He sees you, He doesn't see you in your sin and in your mess. He sees the blood of Jesus covering you. So it's His righteousness. See, we don't have the ability to be righteous. Which is, think about all these armors that the Ephesians chapter 6 speaks of. They're not something we can do on our own. They're a gift of God. So the belt of truth, it's a gift of God. The breastplate of righteousness, it's a gift of God. It's not something I can come up with on my own. So we're given this righteousness. Satan is called the accuser of the brethren. We spoke about that a couple weeks ago. So on that day when you sin, and you will, and the enemy comes and he condemns you, we need to remember who we are in Christ, because he's going to condemn you and bring a very heavy dose of it. And by the way, he's accuser of the brethren. He's very good at it. And if we are not protected and we become deceived, we're going to fall. We have to remember who we are in Christ. Confess your sins. Don't believe the whispers of condemnation and guilt that the enemy is saying to you. Because when we feel that, that is not the enemy. And we need to learn to recognize that. We have to learn to recognize this. So when you sin, confess your sins and don't believe the whispers of the enemy. When we fall into sin, the Holy Spirit will convict. He will draw us through repentance and forgiveness back into fellowship with the Father. But Satan, again, being the master deceiver, the master counterfeiter, he will counterfeit the conviction with accusations. And remember that Jesus came, and because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, shame, guilt, those things have been gone. They've been removed. And the enemy wants us to stay in that state of guilt. The breastplate of righteousness, essential when we've been honest with God, accepted his revealed will, which is the belt of truth, and then put it into practice, what he's told us to do. So when the condemnation comes, you can say, that's a lie, Satan. It's a lie. I'm complete in Christ. Or if there's some truth to his accusation that you've sinned, you say, that's a lie, Satan. That was true. But I really was a phony. I really did mess up. But I'm not anymore. I'm not a phony anymore, because 1 John 1:9 is true, and I really believe it. That God is faithful and he's just to forgive me of my sin. And so I believe he said that, and I believe he's cleansed me because his word says it. And so when we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So this is how we're able to stand our ground. If we don't believe what God's, first of all, we have to know the truth. We talked about that last week. And we have to believe what God's word says. We have to believe what he says. And that's how we're able to fight. That's how we're able to stand. So I just kind of want to go through a few things here. Remember, I told you in the beginning we were going to shorten it up. I don't want to go through too much. But is your life motivated by guilt? Just a few things to ask yourself. Is my life motivated by guilt? Am I constantly guilty or feeling guilt for things I should have done or things maybe I should not have done? Am I constantly doing what I do? Do I come to church? Do I give? Do I do all these things because of guilt? Or do I do it because I've been freed? And because Jesus showed me his love, and he forgave me, and he saved me, and so because of that, I love him, and I desire to be part of his people. I desire to be an active part in the local church. I desire to give. I want to give, not because of guilt, but because I love God. And there's a big difference. So what is your motivation? If you know Christ, his death and resurrection removes guilt. There is shame that is associated with sin. Sin has devastating consequences. Sin will destroy our lives. So we are forgiven of our sin, and God can and he removes the guilt and the shame, but the consequences may still remain. But the guilt and the shame can be removed through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. So is your life motivated by guilt? Second thing is, in what area of your life has God spoken his truth to you and you're not currently following? So God has clearly spoken to you. You read it in his word. Maybe you heard it in a message, and you were convicted. And God clearly speaks to you about something in your life that's not honoring to him. Or something that he says, this is what I want you to do. Is there an area in your life that you're not currently following what he has called you to do, what he's asked you to do? See, we are people of flesh, and we all at times grow deaf to God's clear instructions from time to time, all the while being fully convinced that I'm doing what he wants me to do. See, again, Satan is the master deceiver. And if we're not careful, we can become deceived. That's deception. And it results in unrighteousness. And that leads to vulnerability in the face of demonic attack. See, Satan is looking for cracks, ways he can get in. And he wants to deceive us, and he desires to destroy us. The scripture compares him to a roaring lion seeking to devour you. And we need to take that seriously. He wants to devour us. He wants to destroy us. And so the protection of the breastplate of righteousness is being obedient to what God's called us to do. Even if we don't understand it, even if it scares us, we step out in faith. And when we step out in faith, he gives us grace in that moment. So what are some of those areas in your life where God has spoken to you clearly and you knew that it was him? And by the way, let me just back up and say this. If what you're thinking is contrary to scripture, that wasn't God. If it's something that it has to be in line with God's word. If it's not, that wasn't from him. That's from the enemy. That's deception. So God clearly speaks to you. We need to understand that it came from Scripture. If it came from Scripture, are you being obedient to that? You're being deceived, such as money. Have you placed your faith, trust in money? Have you become greedy? Has it become the ultimate aim of your life and pursuit of your life? See, if that's the case, we've been deceived. That could be taken away tomorrow. Again, this kind of goes hand in hand, but the economy. Are you trusting in your bank account, your 401k, your retirement, all these things? Am I trusting in that? It could be gone tomorrow. It's deception. Maybe there's somebody in your life that you're unwilling to forgive, and God has spoken to you saying you need to forgive them, and you're unwilling to do that. Maybe it's sharing your faith. God's speaking. He's leading you to share your faith with somebody, and you haven't done that. Maybe it's entertainment, that we entertain ourselves to death. What is one of the most used excuses for not doing something, for anything? I can't come to church because I was busy. You know, I didn't make it to lunch. I was supposed to meet you at lunch. I was too busy. I mean, we use this excuse all the time, is that I'm busy. But the bottom line is we make time for what's important to us. So it's very easy to know what's important to you by how you spend your time. So maybe God's speaking to you about your priorities and the way you spend your time. Have you submitted to his lordship in that area? Because I can say I'm busy all day long, but so is everybody else. And I make time for the things that are important to me. If something's important to me, I don't miss it. And I suspect that's the same thing is true with you. If something's important to me, I make time and I make it happen. So maybe God spoke to you about entertainment and priorities. Maybe it's legalism. Legalism meaning I'm going through the motion. I'm going through the motions of Christianity. I look really good on the outside, but inside, there's no desire for God. There's no desire to honor him. And maybe I'm trying to achieve, do this because I'm trying to gain his favor. Well, that's deception. You've already got his approval. You're his child. He loves you. Right heart. So God may be speaking to you in many ways. Are you willing to put on the breastplate of righteousness and do what's right? Are you willing to do what's right? James 4:17 says, therefore to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. It can't be any more clear than that. If I know something's right to do and I don't do it, it's sin. So what is there an area in your life where God has spoken truth to you and you're not currently following him in obedience? So you need to understand that every command God gives us is for our own good. It's because he loves us. Same thing with our own kids. We have rules, we have boundaries. It's for their own good because we love them and we can see the danger that's out there. And so we set rules, we set boundaries, right? Because we want what's best for them. Well, God is our Heavenly Father who loves us. And the rules and the boundaries that he sets are for our own good. He gives us rules about our priorities. He talks about money and bitterness and relationships, purity, all aspects of our life. He doesn't want to just burden us with restrictions. He's not the cosmic killjoy. But he wants what's best for us. On the outside, everything's great. Type of peace. A deep-rooted peace. Not an artificial peace that comes from eating or shopping or vacationing or working or pursuing whatever it is. He wants you to have a clean heart and experience his power. Not just brief moments of holding problems at bay, but really experience his power as he works through you. And see if we would practice submitting to the lordship of Christ, not just Jesus as my Savior, but Jesus as my Lord, we would begin to see him work in our lives. We have to put on the breastplate of righteousness and do what's right. He doesn't want us standing in the middle of this invisible war without protection over our heart. The breastplate of righteousness is a God-given safeguard because he loves us. He does not want us to be destroyed. And ultimately, he knows that sin will destroy. And we are tempted to sin, and Satan is the enemy. He's a real enemy, not just a figment of our imagination, not the cartoon character. Again, he's a lion seeking to devour you. Last time I saw the Animal Planet, the lions were not just frolicking around with the antelope, wanting to lick them to death. They want to eat them. It's dinner. Destroy them. Rip them to pieces. It says, this is what Satan's like. And we need to recognize the attacks. And we do this by knowing truth, the belt of truth we've talked about, and the breastplate of righteousness, applying the truth that we know from God's word. And so next time we'll talk about the shodding our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We'll talk about that one next time. But today, think about the belt of truth. Do you know truth? Do you know God's word? Do you know what it says? And do you know how to apply it? Are you willing to be obedient and do it? So last week we ended with this, Psalm 139, 23, and 24. Psalm that David wrote, and he says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." A great prayer to say, "God, I'm going to be open and honest before you. My heart is open, it's bare. Would you search my heart? Show me, is there any area where I'm being deceived? Would you reveal that? If I'm being deceived in any area, would you reveal that to me? How's my heart? God, what's going on in my heart?" It's very hard, it's very murky sometimes to go through our hearts, but the Holy Spirit, He doesn't have a problem with that. He can see exactly what's going on in our heart, and He'll reveal it to us if we ask Him. So what's going on in my heart? What's my motivation? What are areas I'm deceived? And finally, in what areas, ask God, in what areas am I not doing what I know is right to do? And so those prayer points are on your handout. And so here in a second, I'm going to give you a minute to pray for yourself and evaluate your life, honestly. And evaluating our life, evaluating our heart is a good thing to do. It's a good practice to do. It's to slow down and quiet down long enough and to pray and to ask God to reveal things. And a lot of times it's ugly things that are not things that we recognize often in ourselves, but the Holy Spirit will reveal these things to us if we genuinely ask and pray this: "Search me, O God, know my heart. Try me, know my anxieties, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." And so what I'm going to do is we're going to give you a minute to pray. There's also a prayer request on the back of this handout. And so take a few minutes, evaluate your heart, evaluate your life. Ask the Lord these questions, and then take another couple minutes and pray for these requests that are on the back of this sheet. And so just take 5 minutes here and just pray. Pray for yourself. Ask God to begin to pull away the layers and the stuff that's in your heart and reveal it to you. And then turn the prayer sheet over and pray for those things. And then Carl Milam's going to come and close us in prayer here in about 5 minutes. So let me pray, and then I want you to take a few minutes and pray. God, we thank you again for your love for us. We thank you that you are a loving God who reveals sin in our lives, who reveals areas where we're deceived. We thank you for the protection, the armor that you have provided for us. I ask that you would help us to take it up daily, or that we'd be in your word on a regular basis. Help us to be honest and open before you, or that you would give us a willingness to follow you in obedience, that we'd put on the breastplate of righteousness and do what we know what your word says to do. Lord, as you reveal your truth to us and then reveal how to go about putting it into practice. Lord, I ask that you be with each and every person in here tonight. Lord, as we evaluate our hearts, I ask that you help us to be honest before you. And Lord, we ask that you would help us to be willing to be obedient to the truth that you've revealed to us. In Jesus' name.